Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on Demand.
Well, welcome back, everybody. And I feel like I now know what it feels like to be like a sports team owner when you have a massive power outage in your stadium.
What about the NFL when they had it at the Super Bowl?
Like in New Orleans.
The fireworks in the electrical box, right?
Share, like, retweet, whatever. We're live. What's the time right now? 10:40 a.m. Tuesday in the year of our Lord, 2019, June the 4th, and we are live coming to you from the Rod Peterson Show studios. And I'll tell you what, it's the technical hiccups as we get this show off the ground have been a little bit frustrating and aggravating. However, when you are broadcasting live on Facebook with brand new technology and you're 2 days in, I will take that versus many years into a radio show and you're unable to figure out technical snafus. So here we are. We are live, and thanks for hanging with us, everybody. And again, share your streams. Get your friends following and commenting. And away we go. Darren DuPont, my Paul Schaefer. Thanks for hanging in here through the delay.
I don't know if that's going to stick. I know it is.
But, yes, it is.
Can you sing? You got to get some funky glasses.
I know,
If you're going to do that, because you wear glasses, don't you, on occasion?
On occasion.
Yeah, you got to get some funky glasses, I think.
All right. I was gonna say, when you mentioned
hands.
That, yes, I know. the worst thing that's out in the radio business, I'm sure you've had lots of technical issues over the years.
Just a few. Like,
what's the worst? Somewhere on location, it's got to be.
Wasn't really a radio issue, but it was the blackout, the big blackout in August of 2007. Riders Eskimos, yep. Riders are down prior to a 59-minute delay at Taylor Field. I'll never forget it. I picked up my cell phone and broadcast for 59 minutes over my cell phone back to CKRM. And, of course, it was a power outage and delay, none of which we'd had to that extent before at Taylor Field. And people were saying to me, just play music on CKRM. And I'm like, no, we got to keep people updated what's going on here. And through all that, we brought on Richie Hull. We brought on George Black, the league's director of officiating. So we filled it. But we were on the air. It was just a blackout in the stadium. Here, what do we experience?
Same.
A 40-minute delay. Yeah, well,
but
similar.
You didn't have to talk through it.
Right.
When I was in Toronto a couple weeks ago, the Jays were in Chicago, and they had a rainout in like the fifth inning. And it was literally the rain delay before they came back was longer than they actually played. And they came back and they ended up calling the game. And they had to fill no commercials. It was actually quite a feat of broadcasting to listen to those guys. No commercials, fill for like 2+ hours. And you had 59 minutes during the Rider blackout. I mean, that is not easy.
I didn't find it that particularly difficult to fill that, because we didn't know when the game was coming back.
Right.
So we were literally similar to today, but
right.
We're back. By the way, bear with me as I surf through my Facebook feed, and I want to share this Rod Peterson Show feed. Here we go, and try to get to as many viewers as we can. But I got a list of topics here. The morning opener of the show, I want to call the warm-up. I think we're through the warm-up. I've got a list of things I want to talk about today. One, of course, Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final last night, Blues-Bruins. It's down to a best of three. And if the Blues are going to fulfill my prediction of winning in six, they've got to win the next two, including in Boston in Game 5. That's mathematics for you. I want to talk about Craig Dickinson's comments that hucking and chucking aren't what we're going to be about this year with the Rough Riders. I don't personally have a problem with it as long as they win, but a lot of people have problems with the comments from Craig Dickinson on Monday from Rider training camp in Saskatoon. I want to talk about the daily poll from yesterday. Will Chris Jones be a head coach in the NFL one day? My vote is yes. 72% of you said no in our daily poll. Chris Jones won't be a head coach in the NFL. That's just because you don't like him. You think it's because he's not good enough? Because he is. But anyways, 72% say no. Today's poll, which I'll be putting up in moments, will the Toronto Raptors win the NBA title? It's not looking as good now because they suffered a split at home, and they go to the Oracle Arena for Game 3 on Wednesday with a series tied up 1-1. Raptors broadcast, by the way, I'm starting to see people complaining about the homerism of Matt Devlin and Jack Armstrong. The only thing I don't like about Jack Armstrong is the Raptors. Say Raptors. That's the only thing I don't like about it. And Leo Routens, just keep Leo in there. I love Leo the most. But actually, I've been flipping over to Mike Breen and Jeff Van Gundy on the ESPN broadcast anyways. Tomorrow, the Oakland Raiders will be announcing the NFL game in Winnipeg against the Green Bay Packers. That announcement will be tomorrow at IG Field. We have been contacted by the Oakland Raiders, and they want to put somebody on this show. So
fantastic.
That's pretty cool. And then a series of things. You brought some of them up. Noah Pickton released by the Argos on Saturday. Will the Riders take a look at him? I'm sure they've already talked about it. Will any other team in the CFL? The Winnipeg Blue Bombers are here on Thursday. And we'll talk about that. The return of Willie Jefferson. Will there be a video montage honoring Slick Willie prior to the preseason kickoff, Lidlifter Thursday at Mosaic Stadium? All these things I'd like to talk about. And I see the Facebook stream is going wild. Just to recap, yesterday, 5,000 views on Facebook, which is a whopping number. And for day one, Darren DuPont, unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. I mean, the support was outstanding, even through the technical issues, and we're only just going to keep rolling and growing. And, you know, over 400 comments live in the show. I mean, we have it up off to our set where we can see your comments. If you're on the Facebook feed, if you're on the audio feed at rodpeterson.com, I mean, the text line and the phone line is on the way. But to see these Facebook comments, and it's rolling, and, I mean, you remember, you couldn't keep up. You wanted to get to a comment, and it was already off the screen. So it's coming a million miles an hour, and that's a good thing.
Right. So day one was in the books. Actually went better than day two so far, but we're on the air now.
Sophomore jinx.
Sophomore jinx.
That's all it is.
So I welcome a natural television broadcaster to the program, the Duke of Mydale, Derek Myers. Thanks for being a part of this venture. You're going to be a regular part of this venture.
I hope so.
And you like it. What do you like about the concept of the Rod Peterson Show?
Well, one, this is how I consume my media nowadays. I consume most of my media through my mobile devices or off my computer. I don't watch as much television as I used to. Live sports, of course. We're watching the game last night, game four, St. Louis and Boston. But when it comes to talk shows and stuff like that, I'm mostly streaming off my apps. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that, so yesterday I watched a bit of the show live, and then I watched the replay. I can go on my time. You know,
right.
I do like the appointment viewing. I love the time of this because I do think you're kind of first out of the gate. But I love the fact that I can go back later in the day and just flip it on. And I had it on yesterday, and Sebastian was home and jerking around as a three-year-old kid does. And I can watch, and I was watching, but if I got to go do something, I just wander off, and it's still playing in the background. So for years, I've liked this concept. I've liked Bob McCowan's concept, you know, where they just throw it on. It's really just a talk show that looks great. I mean, great job by IKS here getting this looking. This is spectacular. But I don't have to actually see it to really enjoy it. And I do like the visuals of it, but there's so much more. And you know me, I listen to Colin Cowherd. I listen to Dan Le Batard. I listen to all these guys. This is in that ilk, and sure. I like it. And I like the medium. I mean, it's only going to grow.
Stephen A. Smith is my...
Well, you just be incredulous.
Howard Stern especially is my favorite,
yeah.
But Stephen A. Smith is my new favorite. And DuPont's pointing to the Facebook string. What
yes.
are you saying?
Well, look
there?
At the top comment.
Hey, Roddy, Jeff the ref from Yorkton. Set looks awesome. You're like the Howard Stern of Saskatchewan.
There it is. Yeah.
Transitioning out of traditional media. Great to have you back. Thank you, Jeff the ref. I love it. See, we got new characters already. Can you bring Uncle Lorny from Yorkton in? And
oh,
hang on to those flowers as we'll get it here. But this is the thing about broadcasting on Facebook Live. And a lot of thoughts on that. But I've always been a very big Howard Stern fan, but you couldn't get him on the internet for years here where we live.
Right.
You pretty much had to live in the cities that he was broadcasting from. But in 2005, when he went to satellite radio, there was only one place in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, that was carrying satellite radios. It was the Peterbilt truck dealership,
really?
A semi-dealership just down the road from where we are right now. I was standing there waiting at the door for them to open at 9 in the morning to buy my satellite radio. So if you want to watch the Rod Peterson Show, it's pretty simple. Sign up for Facebook and like our page.
Who isn't
and all
on
of a sudden,
there?
Well, there are a few. There are a few.
Well, we know you had to sell one guy on it.
Yeah, your business partner, the great Mike Lee of Mydale. So people are, that's the thing. If you want this show, you have to sign up for Facebook. And by the way, it's free. I don't care if I had to pay hundreds of dollars a month for Howard Stern on satellite radio. I pay it because I want it.
Yeah.
So if you want this show, sign up for Facebook. I had other points, and I'll get to those. But, Derek, you've brought a gift, so let's get to it. I love the gifts from everybody.
I was going to bring donuts, you know, traditional guy stuff, donuts
right.
or coffee or something like that. And I thought, you know what? This set
Thank
looks
you.
So great, but it could use a little...
freshening up.
A little femininity to it, a little nice touch. So I thought, hey, I'll bring some flowers. And I got to say, Rob, in my 40, almost 42 years on this planet, I think you're the first guy I gave flowers to.
You're the first guy I've received them from,
there we
too,
go.
By the way.
I
so
like it.
Thank you. But by the way, so I put a photo up on my Facebook last night, all my social media channels, of the team of guys that are working on this show. What was there, 7, 8, 9 guys probably, Darren? And all of a sudden, I'm getting bashed by people. Where are the women? Come on, diversity is strength. Hire women on your crew. News flash, women don't want to work on it.
It's not that we don't want to hire them.
It's not that we don't want to hire them. None have applied. So please... take the politically correct stuff and take it somewhere else.
I guess those people don't understand the household you live in.
I'm surrounded by women all the time.
Outvoted by.
That's why I think why I love the fact that the seat is up in that toilet all the time.
Really?
24/7.
It's a go in there?
Well, it's a guy's show. I'm sorry. And if you don't like it, don't watch it. What else are they saying on the Facebook stream, by the way? Oh, as they say in Notre Dame, Luctur et emergo, struggle and emerge. Thank you. From Donald Mitchell, our Navy friend watching from Quebec today. You need a Royal Canadian Navy sticker on your laptop. Get on it. Thank you, Don. By the way, I want to jump into the Rider talk in a minute because that's why people are tuning in. But that gentleman asked me to come speak to naval officers a couple of years ago at the naval base. And I showed up and I said to him, just before I walked in, I said, I assume you want me to talk about the riders. He's like, no. These sailors, naval officers, are from all over the country. They don't care about the Rough Riders. We want you to talk about you and your story. I panicked. I ran out to my car. I called my wife. And I said, Cindy, what am I going to do? They just want me to talk about me. She goes, well, who knows your story better than you? Just go in there and tell it. So I did. And they said it was one of the best speeches that they had. And it was Don that did it. So thank you, Navy Don, watching from Quebec.
You still have an association there. I think, didn't you just, weren't you just at
more
a dinner?
More than ever.
Weren't you just at a dinner not that long ago? You look good, by the way. You cleaned up.
That
look,
night, well, yeah, it was suited and booted for the Royal Canadian Navy. And then a week later, we were with the Canadian Armed Forces and the Canadian Air Force as well, doing some work with them.
Maybe it was Mrs. Rod Peterson show that was...
So let's get the comments going on the Facebook string. Let's talk about the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and Craig Dickinson's comments from yesterday. You guys know that he's under fire. I think unfairly so. I should probably, so I don't misquote him, bring it up. But basically, he talked about there was a touchdown bomb at the end of practice Monday in Saskatoon from Zach Caleros to Katie Cannon. And Craig Dickinson was asked his thoughts on it. And he said, well, it's all great, but hucking and chucking isn't what we're going to be about this year. They want to do a basically small ball offense down the field, ball control offense. And it just, people just... they went nuclear after that comment from Craig Dickinson. And I'm like, we're one game in to a preseason. This season hasn't even kicked off. Guy saying to me on the phone last night, I'm standing on my front porch talking to a guy, and the guy says, a CIS team could have scored more than a point in a preseason game against the Calgary Stampeders. And I'm like, whoa, I don't think that's true. But that's what people are feeling out there. The one-point eruption at McMahon Stadium, Derek, has some people upset. And now anything Craig Dickinson says, they're going to be all over him for. And I just don't think that's fair at this point.
Wow, we're two weeks into the Craig Dickinson era here,
yeah.
and they're all over him. Okay, one, I don't care about points in a preseason game. Yes, it is a bit of a measure, but you weren't starting your starting quarterback. You left receivers at home. I mean, all those things. The score is, and Dickinson said this, actually, I think, going into it. The score, we don't care if we win or lose. This is for evaluation. I mean, it's a pretty short amount of time that some of these guys get to leave their stamp. So the score is irrelevant to me. Of course, as a fan, yes, you would like to see more. What was concerning, and what Dickinson did say, is that the Riders' backups really even couldn't compete with Calgary's backups. Depth is an issue. Now, this week, Thursday, you're going to see more of the starters out there, and you will get a better gauge. Of course, they're still not going to show their hand. I mean, you're not playing poker here where you're just showing your cards, but they are going to see more of the starters, and that is going to be a better gauge. You can't gauge, as a fan, from a fan's perspective, anything that came out of Calgary other than the depth might be concerning. But God willing, you know, that's something you never have to run into. It is football. There is injuries and that. But, I mean, your offense, you weren't even playing anybody. Let's be fair. So, it really, the score and the points, to me, are irrelevant. But you would like to see Zach Collaros and some of the first-teamers be able to move the ball and show something on Thursday, because you could say, well, it's young in the season. Yeah, but it's young for the other guys too. You know, it's young for the Bombers defense. It's early in the season. So yes, they need to show something on Thursday. But as far as Wednesday, I'm not concerned
last Friday, but yeah, you're not concerned about it.
And as far as Craig Dickinson's, we're not just going to, what do you call it? Huckin' and chuckin'. Yeah. What do you want? I mean, a coach's job is to win. He is not head of the marketing department. So I'm sorry if you're bored, but if you're bored all the way to a Grey Cup appearance, so be it.
That's kind of where I'm coming from on that whole thing.
Yeah, people will be okay.
They're doing what they think it takes to win. And last year in the playoff game, this same Stephen McAdoo with a different quarterback, his name was Brandon Bridge, did a ball control offensive approach, and Bridge let it rip downfield a couple of times, but the one big one, it was picked off, which the Bombers marched back the other way for a touchdown in a game they lost by 5 points. Yeah. And I know that Brandon Bridge isn't the quarterback anymore. That was an offense tailored for Brandon Bridge when he was in the game. Why they want to go with ball control offense under Zach Collaros, they must have their own reason why they want to do it. But I think as we sit here in early June, to rip this team for his offensive philosophy is a little premature. I understand where the Rider Nation, I understand their passion. I sort of understand where they're coming from, but I'm not going to get into it or buy it, and I'm damn sure I don't have to defend it anymore, and I'm glad about that. The quarters, we have a poll here. Can you put that back up, Clark Monroe? Clark, you had it? I don't know where he's running this poll, but it says, how many quarters should Collaros play this week? Somewhere he's got that poll up. There it is. The vast majority of our viewers, which aren't necessarily all the Rider Nation, because there's fans of other CFL teams here, 66% say he should play a half. 13.3% say either one quarter or three quarters, and 6.7% say just a fourth. Those are the Bomber fans watching from Winnipeg voting for how long Zach Collaros should play in Thursday night CFL finale, preseason finale for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. I got him at three quarters. I'd like to see Zach play three. What about you guys?
Yeah, I was kind of at a half, you know, with Marshall yesterday, and I'm still there. If he plays a half, great. If he comes out and has three really strong series again in the opening quarter, and you see what you need to, I'm happy with that. I mean, the less time he plays for me, the better, because, you know, knock the rust off, sure, get in rhythm with the number ones, but stay healthy. You can't leave yourself out there to take a shot.
I mean, I think the Rider Nation, and I can't speak for the coaching staff, but you got to get over this. Get him out, because what if he gets hurt? If he's going to get hurt, he's going to get hurt. Whether it's preseason, whether it's game one, whether it's game 18. I mean, that's always a risk. I would like to see him come out and play at least a series in the third quarter, at least. The first half.
A half and
then just get that rhythm. Get that rhythm of coming out of the half.
So our producer, Clark, is telling us that we need to take a break. Thank you for this gift from Derek Myers. We're leaving it. I don't think we'll leave the roses up here.
We got to get them in water.
We'll put them in water, yes. But the Arm Dog joins us after this break. They're telling us that we would like to go to a commercial break when we come back. Sportsnet's Colby Armstrong, Saskatoon product, former Red Deer Rebel, longtime NHLer, will join us from his home in Pittsburgh to talk a little Stanley Cup playoffs and Memorial Cup. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Back and kicking it. Let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Rod Peterson Show continues on Facebook Live and the audio only feed at rodpeterson.com. In moments, Colby Armstrong will be joining us via video chat from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Coy, you tell me when he's ready to roll. Sports update on the day of this Tuesday morning. The St. Louis Blues beat Boston 4-2 in Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final with Ryan O'Reilly scoring the go-ahead goal midway through the third period for a second of the night. Game 5 goes Thursday in Boston. And a mild strain in his left hamstring that forced Golden State guard Klay Thompson out of Game 2 in the NBA Finals also has him listed as a question mark for Game 3 tomorrow night. The Warriors will play the Toronto Raptors Wednesday. The Warriors will also be without Kevon Looney, who suffered a non-displaced cartilage fracture on the right side of his rib cage. Again, Game 3 tomorrow night at Oracle Arena. We're going out on the video chat line. We've got Colby Armstrong with us from Rogers Sportsnet from Pittsburgh. There he is, the Arm Dog. How you doing, Colby?
Good. What's going on? Thanks for having me on. Looks good.
Not as good as you, my friend. Colby, thank you on day two of the Rod Peterson Show. So happy to have you. How are things in Pittsburgh today?
It's good, man. We've had a few weeks of rain down here, but we're getting set for a real hot summer apparently. But it's nice here. It's weird being here now for 4 years. I'd say I moved since I moved here, and the first 2 years I was here, they went back to back. The Penguins did winning cups. And then the last 2 years, obviously, short runs in the playoffs. So it's a little weird right now watching hockey and not being around the rink and watching the Penguins roll.
You know, I got to ask you this before we get into the Stanley Cup. Loved watching you on the Memorial Cup, watched every game. And kudos to the Huskies for winning it. Too bad the Raiders didn't come home with a win. But they're calling it the best Memorial Cup ever. You've done enough of those now. Is that true?
Well, I think that was my fourth or fifth one. I started in Red Deer. It was actually my first one, which was really cool a number of years ago to get me started in it. But yeah, this was my best one just for quality of teams. And obviously Halifax being the host city and losing in game 6 of the final in the Quebec League against the Huskies, who ended up winning the Memorial Cup. You had four teams that were deserving to be there. No 44-day layoffs. All four teams came in. With really the same amount of games under their belts, all the same amount tired, and all really good quality teams.
You're a dub guy like me. You must have been asked all through that week.
Dying.
Yeah, you must
dying.
Have been. You must have been asked all week. What's with the WHL drought at the MC? I'm saying it's a fad, not a trend. I don't see this continuing. But how are you answering that question?
Yeah, it's disappointing for me. I'm a big dub guy, obviously, from Saskatoon, played in the dub. It's killing me. I don't think a WHL team, besides Red Deer, who was hosting that year, Regina, who was hosting the next year, won games. A team winning the Western Championship hasn't come in and won a game at all in this tournament. So since I've been doing it, that's crazy. That's brutal. So it's a little bit tough to swallow when these OHL teams come in, like the Guelph Storm with 9 NHL draft picks that they traded for at the deadline. And you know, Prince Albert makes a couple trades. That was it. Basically the same team. I think they got Dante Hanoun, and that was really the only move they made. And come in and don't win a single game. And then you look at the travel as well. You can make excuses for that in the Western League as well. But man, I'm saying these teams got to help each other a little bit. They got to help each other. If you've got a team that's qualifying to get in there and a team that's looking to make, you know, some noise, you've got to have, I think, a little bit of help. Like, listen, there's got to be a way they can do it. These other leagues do it. They come in with draft picks and they're stacked. And they make moves at the deadline to help themselves. The Dub takes pride in going, no, we don't do that. We don't do that. And I think, you know, we got to start thinking about that. I lost your voice. The audio kicked.
Now you got you back?
I got you.
Okay, perfect. So they used to do that here. They used to load the teams up in the Dub a little bit, not as much as the O and the Q. But one thing I've learned is the WHL teams line up to screw each other. They don't want to help each other. That's just the way.
That's the truth. It's true. Yeah. And you know what? When we won the Memorial Cup in 2001, we made a trade. Michael Garnett, shout out to Garney, good Sasky boy, Saskatoon, getting married this summer in Calgary. Journeyman over in Europe, KHL. But we made a trade with him and Justin Wallen to Saskatoon for Martin Erat. And it was an unbelievable trade for us. It put us over the top. Cam Ondrick and Martin Erat. Cam was our backup. Marty Erat came in and made a huge difference for us. Big trade for us. Made a big difference. He played the NHL the next year. But teams don't want to do that now. Teams want to hang on to their guys. And I look for a perfect example. Krebs, a player out in Kootenay Ice. They're now moving to Winnipeg. This guy's a top 15, top first round draft pick. Their team won like 12, 15 games this year. Move him. Help a team out. Guess what? If he's not going to play in the NHL next year, I don't know how it works. Work a deal and send him back in the summer. There's got to be a way you can work it so that these teams aren't going in there and getting slaughtered in every tournament, Memorial Cup.
You need to lead that charge because they'll listen to you. They're long since. They don't listen to me anymore. Before we get to the Stanley Cup, Colby, I want to ask how you got into broadcasting, because obviously I've been following you for years. You were on that 0-1 Red Deer team that won it all here, right, in Regina?
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, that was
the whole thing.
That's a number of years ago.
Yeah, what doesn't seem that long to me, but I guess now that you're retired and you're into broadcasting. But what got you into broadcasting? I watched all your interviews. I watched you play. I never saw you being this wild and crazy guy on camera. You never hid. You always gave great quotes. But how did they approach you, or did you approach them?
Well, I think, first of all, I think playing in Toronto with the Leafs and then playing in Montreal my last few years in the league was beneficial, obviously, to getting into it in those A markets up in Canada, seen a lot. You know, it's important that way, I think, as a player to be seen that way and for people to know who you are, for one. But also, I got to give credit. I think I always kind of thought about it, but my agent really helped push me in the direction of possibly getting my feet wet. And then obviously a good opportunity was given to me and getting started. So when I retired, I lived in Saskatoon for the first year and every night out building an outdoor rink at night and fly to Toronto once a month and do a couple nights. And that's kind of how I got started. And I'll tell you what, I give you credit, obviously, doing this a long time, and it's harder than it looks. It takes a lot of work, and I find myself up watching games till 1 o'clock in the morning out here in the East, watching those West Coast games and staying in touch with guys and staying up to date with everything that's going on with every team. And then being good on radio or being good on camera is a whole nother beast in itself. I think I've gotten better every year. I think it's, you know, been harder than I thought, but it's been really fun to be involved with hockey still. And I got afforded a great opportunity to give it a kick and trying to make the most of it.
Well, that's the key right there is having fun, and you're honest. I mean, I'm sure you've pissed guys off along the way because that's the way that you talk. But also, I find myself when the period's coming to an end, I can't wait to hear what Colby has to say, which is exactly what you would want, right?
Well, I hope so. I mean, I think everybody's different. And you know what the hardest thing that I found is they say, be yourself, just be yourself. And it's like, well, it's kind of awkward. I'm wearing a suit, sitting at a desk, not talking exactly to the person that I'm sitting beside. And trying to talk to the audience. And I think you find out how to be yourself on camera or be yourself in that certain role. And once you get comfortable with that, I think that's when you find that little sweet spot. So I think I'm getting there every year. It's gotten better. It's taken a lot of work And I think I like to shine the game up. I think we've got great players. I think we've got great personalities. I think we could probably do a better job at showing maybe some of the fourth line guys and stuff like that, that really make our game look great. I know they're, you know, those aren't the players that you look at for selling jerseys, like, more than likely, but they're the guys that really connect with communities and people and are awesome. And I just think we've got a great product. We've got a great game. It's fun. And I try to have fun with it. And at times you got to be critical. It comes with the territory, but that's part of hockey, part of sports, and part of day-to-day life in the NHL.
Well, keep doing what you're doing. You'll have a long career for sure. And to the Stanley Cup final. So I got the Blues in six. We got our three Sasky boys, which you alerted the world to on your Twitter account the other day. So I'm picking Blues in six. I'm cheering for the Blues, but it's 2-2. It's down to a best of three. How do you see this thing playing out?
Man, what a series, hey? Like, how about the game last night? Absolutely unbelievable. Like, you do not see that through 82 games, and I don't know if the Blues could play that style through 82 games, but for what it's worth, with the way both these teams play against each other, just the physicality, shift to shift, in your face, big Zdeno Chara gets a puck in the face, the old Viking drops to the ground, he's got a cage on, he's moral support on the bench, everyone's going head-to-head, it's electric. And that's the way I think hockey's supposed to be. But I'm pulling for the Blues big time. I'm in your court. I'm loving the Sasky guys. Bozak, I roomed with him with the Leafs for a few years on the road. So a good buddy of mine, Schenner, grew up a block away from me in Saskatoon, played with his brother Luke as well in Toronto. And Schwartz, who I have never met yet, but a guy just Wilcox, Saskatchewan. You got to love the way he's playing, from the season he had to what he's doing in the playoff. He's surpassed his regular season goal mark here in the playoffs. He's an absolute beast. So I love the brand of hockey in this series. I love the brand of hockey that St. Louis plays with, and obviously the Saskatchewan edge puts me right over the top with those guys.
Jaden was throwing his weight around last night, which he doesn't normally do either, because it's the cup.
He's a honey badger, man. He's sassy. He just gets in there and grinds. I love how strong he is on his stick. He's not afraid to get his nose over the puck against bigger guys and fight for it and battle. And man, all three of those guys are playing real quality hockey. I'm really proud. I think probably Saskatchewan Hockey Association's probably pretty proud of those guys and the way they're performing on this big stage. It's fun to watch. It's a great rallying point. And I mean, I saw guys, I think in Regina, were pulling for the Vegas Golden Knights to be, you know, their team of choice, because we don't have a team. We're stuck in the middle there. But I think right now everyone should be definitely pulling for the Blues.
Absolutely. Colby, enjoy the rest of your day out there in Pittsburgh. And when they told me you were coming on, I was so stoked. So thanks for doing it.
All right. Congrats on the show. It looks great. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy. The Arm Dog, Colby Armstrong. Now, I had to rip my headphone out of my ear because it wasn't working. So I was listening to his voice emanating from another room around here, but at least we got through it. So. Early days of launching this show on
Facebook.
He
was great, though.
He was awesome.
Duke and I had him really sharp in our ears. So
you did.
We were just sitting back listening and enjoying, and because we weren't on the air, or we weren't part of the interview, but you didn't see me ducking around underneath the cameras trying to get your audio back.
Oh, the things that happen.
But that's what we do. It was a great, great interview. And I love Colby, that Saskatchewan connection. I like how he called Jaden Schwartz a honey badger.
Right.
That's awesome.
There is a bit of a fraternity there when it comes to guys in the NHL from Saskatchewan, especially you're seeing it still in this generation of guys, whether you talk about Eberle or you're talking about Colby Armstrong, who's, you know, out of it, but when you look at the Schwartzes, the Bozaks, and the Shens, and these guys, I mean, they fly the flag. They fly the yellow and green.
Yeah, they do. And I think that people need to understand how big of a hockey province this is. When I was on NHL radio, it was the St. Louis newspaper called me about those three Sask kids. And they said, when's the last, you must really be looking forward to the Stanley Cup coming. When's the last time the Cup was here? And I'm like, last year when Chandler Stephenson brought it and Ross Mahoney, the Washington Cap. People don't understand that this is it's kind of the capital of hockey, at least grassroots hockey.
You were in the parade.
Yeah.
As were you.
Wow. I was sort of in the parade. I was on my phone.
You were
all
on your phone with your lawyer the whole time.
But is that not the coolest thing about hockey? Maybe it's a little different than football. Football's similar too, but doing games, being on the road, it's the people. It's being around those guys and building the relationships at the morning skates. That's one of the best places to be, is to sit in the stands at a morning skate and have coffee and just that's when you get your information. That's when you have those conversations and meet these people and share stories. The games are just a bonus.
I tell you, when I first started in the business and I was working at Sportsnet in the trucks, one of my favorite times of day was after the morning skate, and they'd be doing media scrums, and I would go sit in the seats in the arena, and you could just hear the lights. There was nobody in the arena. You'd be in an 18,000-seat arena, and you could smell that smell of the ice. And just sit there. I just absolutely loved being around the rink.
There's nothing better. And that time of day, just
at
when
any rink.
Well, when you're sitting in the stands, hello. When you're sitting in the stands and you hear that,
yeah, that's the
just
sound.
That hum. You don't know if it's the lights, if it's the ice plant, if you don't know what it is. Just that it feels.
And it doesn't
so
matter where
good.
You are.
Doesn't matter where you are. It's all the same.
The Harry Olmsted Arena.
But
in Mydale,
I will say this: it's different matter. Now than it used to be. A couple years ago, I went on a road trip with the Pats because Philzy was going to Mexico to go to a wedding, and I couldn't wait to get on the bus and visit with John Paddock and Dave Struce and Darren McKechnie, and we got on the bus, and they flipped open their laptops, and they did work the whole time. And I'm like, hey, aren't we? I thought we were going to rap here. They don't do it. At least they don't. Maybe they just don't like me. I don't know. But I know for all those years of traveling with, in my time, Curtis Hunt was the guy that I got to be the closest with. But when you sit right beside somebody for 6 hours from Kamloops to Prince George, you really get to know somebody. And when, you know, when I refer to Curtis Hunt as the older brother I didn't need because I already have two, that's why you get to know somebody on the travel. You're right. And football used to be that way, too. It's not that much anymore. But I really enjoyed traveling all over this province, getting to know Corey Chamberlain when we would share a vehicle ride for 4 hours down and back to Estevan and all the rest. Darren, you're checking the Facebook feed. What are the questions going up there?
Well, they want to know about the Prince Albert Raiders. Obviously, still a little holdover from the Colby Armstrong interview. But you touched on that a little while ago. I know we got viewers just joining us. But, you know, the thoughts on – they were asking your thoughts on the – PA's run to the Memorial Cup and their Western Hockey League title, and obviously the two guys re-signing yesterday, which we broke on this show.
We did mention that yesterday. Curtis Hunt and Mark Habscheid officially signing contract extensions with the Prince Albert Raiders, which I don't think the Raiders have announced yet. We broke that story here yesterday.
I think it went out, but it went out after our show.
Okay. Well, it was tough to watch the Raiders at the Memorial Cup not win because I think we were all pulling for them. That whole small market thing, and the Swift Current Broncos did it the year before. I can speak for myself. We were all pulling for them. So,
Is there any credence, and I saw one of our Facebook viewers put this up there, that since the WHL went to the NHL-style playoff format of seeding, not 1 versus 8 or even 1 versus 16, but it's one versus eight, but then you got 2-3 and then you have to play out. I mean, we have seen some really good second round series that guys have had some trouble, you know, getting through. Like, for instance, this year PA and Saskatoon, I mean, that was a really difficult series. Is there any credence to, you know, it is harder?
The WHL
since they switched over.
Did it right.
You like that?
Of course, because you just said it. You get better series, and it's a harder road to get out. But you don't ever hear anybody go on Twitter and say, I love the playoff format. Nobody ever says the compliments. It's they rip the WHL if their team didn't qualify for the playoffs because of the new jigging of the format. That's all you ever hear.
Yeah.
You don't hear anybody saying, boy, I sure love this format.
But
nobody
do you think it is harder
that.
On the players?
You got to go through
Why?
The series anyway. You
What's
still
harder
play
on the players?
Because, but you're spending so much gas up front.
Sorry, it's the playoffs.
Yeah, but if you want to win at the Memorial Cup, are you making it more difficult on your teams? And are they out of gas by the time they get
no,
there?
To me, it's no. To me, it comes back to what I mentioned on your website in my column during the season at the end of the year is the star power and some of that TV component of it, because when you're playing all year, and there's no doubt in my mind that Prince Albert, top to bottom, was maybe one of the best teams in the country. Obviously, they deserved a spot at the Memorial Cup, but their fourth line could play with anybody. Their third line can play with anybody. The high-end talent wasn't there, and that's what the other leagues had, the high-end talent when they load up. And when you get to the Memorial Cup, and now you're playing every period with three television timeouts per period that are anywhere from 90 seconds to 2 minutes, you don't need your third and fourth line guys as much. You can ride your top guys. So where Prince Albert was head and shoulders above everybody in the Western Hockey League when it came to depth, their back end was so good, and you can't keep up with them. Well, when you only have to play 3-6 guys as much, now the competitive advantage steps in. That, for me, was the difference.
One of the beautiful things about the Rod Peterson Show is the viewer component in terms of you steer what we want to talk about. So load up the Facebook feed. I point up here because that's where the wall is for us. What you'd like us to talk about next, I do have some points here. Daron Carter in BC, will he sell tickets with the Lions? A, B, will he even finish the year? I've got a bet with somebody on that, whether he even finishes the year with the BC Lions. Noah Pickton, cut by the Argos on Saturday. Will he surface with somebody else? And the Winnipeg Blue Bombers will be here Thursday night for the preseason finale for the Green. Lots to talk about. Coming back after this break, it's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
You see them everywhere. Those awesomely massive decals around the city? Yep, that's Sleek. Those sweet-looking graphics on businesses, buses, and billboards? Sleek, sleek, sleek. Basically, if you want to go big, you go with Sleek Signs. SleekSigns.com.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit RodPeterson.com. Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms.